I want to read a wee psalm this morning, and it's Psalm 145. And if you follow through, if you have your Bibles there, you can go back and read it again in your own time. It's precious, precious words it is for us. And if we just dwelt in that psalm alone, just reading it and pondering it, then, friends, we don't really need a sermon. But this is David's psalm of praise. And he says to the Lord, I will extol thee, O my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of the terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of the great goodness, and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. The Lord upholdeth all that fall, and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thy hand and satisfies the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and forever. Now, I want to ask you a question this morning. What about your heart? You know, there's big emphasis on the heart. and if your heart is not, if your heart's not good physically, then you're not in the best way of going. Because the heart is a big part of us, isn't it? And the same thing applies spiritually. If your heart is not a spiritual heart, you're not in a good way of going as a Christian. And so that's the question I ask you. What about your heart? What about your heart? What sort of hearts can we have? Well, in Jeremiah, a long time ago now, Jeremiah was quoting those words. What did he say about the heart of man? He said, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? If you were preaching that on the street in Londonderry today, in all probability you'd be arrested. But the prophets spoke the truth. And they took the consequences of it, didn't they? And we know where Jeremiah landed one day. He landed in a dungeon. But God was with him. Because when things were very dark in the nation, and the king asked, is there any word from the Lord? Where did they go? He went and asked Jeremiah. He was in touch with God. So you can have a sinful heart. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And men and women and boys and girls, they need to acknowledge this fact, because this is a fact. And it's obvious. And it's nothing. There's nothing new about it. Scripture says, going back a good bit now to the book of Genesis and chapter 6. And the Bible says, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. We sometimes think, well, it never was as bad and as dark, and men was never as wicked as what they are today. Friends, what? I ask you this question, Has mankind changed? Has he? What's the difference in a sinner man today and a sinner man in Noah's day? What's difference? What's the difference in a man's nature today than in Noah's day? How does man treat God today as he treated in the days of Noah? And there are many changes. We know there are many changes, amazing changes. But has man really changed to that extent? And what you see in Afghanistan today and so many other, that's just the old sinful heart of man. So you can have a sinful heart. And then you can have a hard heart. Wasn't it the Lord who said, today if you hear his voice, not everyone hears his voice, but for those who do hear his voice, you could be preaching to 1,000 people, and maybe only one or two in that whole congregation will hear his voice. But for those who hear his voice, they need to respond to it. He says, today if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. So it's possible to hear his voice, and it's possible to harden your heart to the voice, as they did in the people of Jerusalem. When Jesus wept over the city and he said, how oft would I have gathered you, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, but you wouldn't come. Why? Because they'd hardened their hearts. When Jesus went preaching in Capernaum, and they had his preaching, they had his prayers, they had his presence, and they spurned it all and hardened their hearts, and Jesus said, you've been exalted up to heaven, but now you're cast down to hell. It hardened their hearts. And sad to say, but it certainly seems to many, to us, today as we seek to reach men and women with the gospel and call men and women to think about their ways and trust the Lord and so on. Hard hearts, go onto the street there, go down there through the village, knock on door after door, invite the people up here to these empty pews and all that. Why? What are you seeing? Hard hearts. No response in many cases. So you have the hard heart. And it'd be very sad in a fellowship like this that if people came here Sunday by Sunday and heard the loving pleadings of Jesus to follow him and to love him, and yet harden the heart against the tender voice of the Son of God. You can have a sinful heart. You could have a hard heart. You could have a heavy heart. You could be dealing with something this morning in your mind and in your heart that nobody in this world knows anything about. It might belong to the present. It might be something that affected you in the past. It might be due to your relations. It might be to do with many other things. But you could sit in the house of God with a heavy heart. You could sit in your home with a heavy heart. You could be amongst the crowd sitting in the wedding reception where there's food and there's fun and there's laughter and there's everything nice. And you could sit in the midst of it all with a heavy heart. And you wouldn't be the first. For you go back to Psalm 42 and Psalm 43. What did the psalmist say there? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? And he asked that question 5 times in those 2 psalms. And yet he doesn't get an answer. And you could be maybe asking a question, and you can't get an answer. And you're a Christian. So what do we do? Do we doubt God? Is he not here? Is he like me, half deaf and more? No. But it's his will and his time and his ordering of events, friends. I'm sure every person in here this morning could ask questions about something or some situation that you don't see rhyme or reason for. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted? I remember sitting in a church in the town of Stornoway in the Isle of Lewis. Many years ago, there was a watch night service and the old preacher came in and he didn't have a sermon at all. He didn't have a sermon. He didn't intend to have a sermon. But we're singing a few carols and so on. And then he quoted these words from the Psalm 42, 43. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Hope thou in God, for I will yet praise him. That was the substance of his sermon. Hope thou in God, for I will yet praise him. But you see, we are people in a hurry. We want to know now what's going to happen tomorrow. We want to know now. Well, we might get to know, but we might not get to know. Hope thou in God, he says, for I will yet praise him. You know, you see somebody maybe with a burden upon them and so on, or maybe, you know, and you talk to them, maybe you can't get talking to them, but you know they have a burden upon them. You know, you can't say to that person, pull yourself together. You'll be all right. All things work together for good. And you can quote scripture to them. But it doesn't lighten their burden. And what that dear person needs is patience to wait until the cloud lifts. Some of the best people that I have met have been in congregations where I have preached. People were hit with depression. And some Sundays they weren't even able to come out to church because of the weight that was upon them. Dear Christian people, good people, godly people. So what could we do? We could only pray and sympathize with them and see them back out again. Hope thou in God, for I will yet praise him. That's what it's about. You can have a heavy heart. What about the great man, Elijah? A man who'd seen amazing and wonderful things and a powerful spiritual man. And yet, where do we find? We find him sitting under a tree one day. And he says to the Lord, I want to die. I've had enough. I'm no better than my fathers. Why should I live when they'd had to die? He's got a heavy heart. But you know, it's a good thing that God doesn't always answer our prayers, isn't it? For he didn't answer Elijah's prayer, not the way he wanted it anyway. But you know, the bit about it is, you know, here is Elijah, and he's really in the deep. He's in a dark place. He's in a bad place in a sense, in that way. But, and he says, Lord, take away my life. But all the time in his depression, he's still talking to God. And that's what you're doing. If you've got a heavy heart, and when you go through times of heaviness, and you feel maybe frustrated, and you feel cast down, and you feel the going is hard, and you're asking questions, but you're asking questions from God, for you still believe in God, and you believe God is there. That's why you're praying. But God didn't leave Elijah under the tree, and he'll never leave any of his children to die outside his love and his mercy. He came from heaven to save them. He died to save them. And he's not going to leave any of them here on earth outside his saving grace. And friends, you can have a heavy heart, and then you can have an open heart. As the scripture says in Acts chapter 16, and Paul went out ministering there at Philippi, and there's a woman in the group where he's preaching, in the group he's preaching to, and what her name was Lydia. And the scripture says, and the Lord opened her heart. So it's good to live like that. It's good to live open to the Lord. Whatever he has for us, whatever stage in life we are in, whether we're 20 or 40 or 60 or 80 or more, whatever he has for us, we are open to his will. The Lord opened her heart. Maybe there's someone here in the service this morning who has not yet opened their heart to the Lord and received the Savior, and received his forgiveness, and has come to know his joy and peace and glorious hope for time and for eternity because of an open heart. So friend, you can have a sinful heart. You can have a hard heart. You can have a holy heart. But the psalmist say in Psalm 51, do thou with hyssop sprinkle me, I shall be cleansed so. Yea, wash thou me, and then I shall be whiter than the snow. He had a clean heart. Bless God for the cleansing fountain. And then, friend, you can have a heart that is touched. Touched your heart. The scripture says about Saul, when Samuel had anointed him to be king, and the whole conference and convention had broken up, and the scripture says that Saul went home to Gibeah, and there went with him a band of men whose hearts God had touched. That's a secret. If God can touch Caldwell Darrell's heart, that's what's precious. And you could go to conference, you could go to convention, you could listen to preachers, and you could attend meeting after meeting after meeting. And your head could be touched, but your heart's still cold. It's the heart being touched. A band of men whose hearts God had touched. They could go home with a spring in their step. And then, friends, also, you can have a comforted heart, which Jesus is desirous to give us. When he was leaving his little flock in John 14, what did he say to them? He says, I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come again, take you to be where I am. Let not your heart be troubled. You can have a comforted heart. And that's what he wants us to have. That's what he wants you to have. That's what he wants your wife to have. That's what he wants your husband to have. Your son and your daughter. And a troubled world. And a world full of perplexity and sufferings, disease, COVID, whatever it is, comforted. He's the God of all comfort, isn't he? So how's our hearts? I trust, friends, they may be as he wants them to be in his will and in his purpose. All right, folks, let's sing a verse or two. And 556, which I'm sure would be your prayer this morning as you follow the Savior. Oh, for a closer walk with God. Calm and heavenly frame. A light to shine upon the road that leads me to the Lamb. That's precious. Thank you. Oh, for a closer walk.